SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
A new SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Europe.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more? Tune in from the 1st of May
on DAB Radio, online,
the SBS Audio app
and SBS On Demand.
You're listening to an SBS News podcast.
A national report has found discrimination against transgender people is still widespread across institutions, including in healthcare, housing, education and employment. The report by the Australian Human Rights Commission makes 19 recommendations, including reforms across Australian states and territories to protect gender diverse people from vilification, incitement of hatred and threats of physical harm. The author of the report, Sex Discrimination Commissioner Anna Cody, spoke to Razan Alabdelli about the findings, including identifying the barriers gender diverse people experience in different institutional settings.
What stands out most to you in terms of patterns and barriers that trans and gender diverse people experience across institutions?
So across institutions, it really depends on the institution, but there are significant patterns of policies and programs being designed without the views, the experiences of trans and gender diverse people being at the centre of that or being considered. So that means, for example, university systems where someone may want to change their name within the system, it's really difficult to actually have that happen. And you have to come up against all of the computer and IT systems to do that. So it's because the system was designed with a particular approach in mind without taking into account the experience of trans and gender diverse people. Also, within work and employment, there's definitely a lot of barriers and discrimination that people face both in getting jobs and then also in keeping jobs if people find out that they are trans. So that was certainly a pattern that we heard about, the difficulties in maintaining employment because of the attitudes and approaches to people with who are trans and gender diverse. And then the other piece that came up was really around safety, the real and serious needs for safety. Physical violence was definitely prevalent, as was sexual violence and also online abuse. The increasing use of abuse and hate speech against trans and gender diverse people. So those were some of the patterns that we saw across the 97 submissions that we received.
There's been a lot of conversations around algorithms, especially in relation to e-safety. What role or significance does online activity play in your findings?
Online activity has certainly grown over the last 10 years. We know that often if there is hate speech being used online, that it can increase people's safety risks. So there's a real issue with the crossover between online and then in real life safety. And that's definitely increased as over the last 10 years, as I said, because of the increasing international trends, which are spreading disinformation, so wrong information intentionally about trans and gender diverse people. They are a very small percentage, 0.9%, so almost 1% of the population, so a tiny group within our community, and yet people will often spread wrong information about trans and gender diverse people, and we know that they experience violence at a higher rate than other people within the community. They're at risk of experiencing violence because they cross those gender norms, and people can often try and enforce or police those gender norms, and that's at the cost of trans and gender diverse people.
And in terms of groups that oppose trans and gender diverse rights, are there reforms that would improve protections?
Certainly, one of our recommendations is to ensure that there is anti-vilification provisions and also anti-conversion laws in each state and territory and at a federal level. At the moment, we don't have laws which make it against the law to speak hatefully, to incite contempt for or ridicule people who are trans and gender diverse, and that really impacts on people. We've seen in some media sources and certainly online the way in which trans and gender diverse people are spoken about. It dehumanizes them and it can definitely incite a ridicule and contempt, and that becomes a very dangerous situation then for those people.
The Australian Human Rights Commission mentions events being cancelled out of fear for the safety of participants. Can you tell us about what that has looked like?
Well, I know, for example, that a community legal centre that specialises in LGBTQ+ rights held an International Women's Day event, and they had to pay for extra security because they were concerned about people turning up and being a threat to the women who were coming along to that event, including trans women. So we know it has a real effect for community agencies that already have limited funding to face that. We also know some of the events that have occurred in libraries have had to be cancelled because of violent opposition that's demonstrated to events, and that has meant that the library can't pay for the sort of security that's needed to be able to hold that event. And it's a way of silencing people. It's a very effective strategy to just silence people and not enable them to express themselves peacefully.
The report mentions exploring the impact of conversations around housing. Can you tell us about the reform that the Commission is calling for with regards to housing and homelessness?
So we know homelessness is an issue more broadly in the Australian community, but trans and gender diverse people experience it at higher rates. And that starts from young people who are excluded or rejected by their family. So 15 and 16 year olds who are leaving home earlier because their families won't accept them. So they face substantial and severe need for crisis housing. And often there isn't good policy in place to respond to trans people who need emergency crisis housing. And then there's also the impact of ongoing housing and homelessness issues. We know that 1 in 3 trans and gender diverse people have experienced homelessness in their adult life, and that's a lot higher than for other people.
Thank you, Dr. Cody. And one more question. So the report, it's flagged concerns over human rights risks when it comes to Australia's immigration detention system, which was pretty interesting. I mean, what has the Commission been seeing with this regard from submissions?
Human Rights Commissioner Lorraine Finlay published a report into women in detention, including a section on trans women and the importance of them being able to have access to meaningful activities and spaces in which they were safe. And so that is a particular need that within home affairs and within detention centres, as well as the broader prison population, the need to ensure safety, because trans people are again at risk when they're in detention or when they're in jail. And so often what's used, they often end up in solitary confinement for their own protection. But that the problem with that is that people end up in solitary confinement for a very long time. And that's of concern. We know that trans and gender diverse people are part of our community, and we need to ensure that everyone can enjoy human rights in our society, and that includes trans and gender diverse people who have been around for all time throughout history. It's not a new phenomenon. They are part of our population and have the same human rights as all of us.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.